Let's come back to the book of Ezekiel. The second page. Number C. The chosen's unfaithfulness and God's faithfulness. The unfaithfulness of the chosen, the first one is they lust after their idol. How come lust after their idol means unfaithfulness? Faithfulness and unfaithfulness actually is a term being used in the marriage. Faithful means one husband and wife, right? After you get married, you have focused your attention to only your spouse. Unfaithful means you have an extra marital relationship with or with the one who is not your spouse, or you pay attention to the one who is not your spouse more than your spouse. That means unfaithfulness. Okay? After you get married, you have only one. Two shall be one. So unfaithfulness means that there is a third party involved, that unfaithfulness. So between Israel and God, there was the third party involved, which is the idol. So idol become more important than God in the life of Israelite. So that means unfaithfulness. So idol in Jerusalem provoked God's jealousy. So lust after idol. Jealousy is good or not good? Jealousy is good or not good? Not good. How come the Bible says God is God of jealousy? Means God is not good. Oh no. In the Bible, there are two kinds of jealousy. One is good, one is bad. The first jealousy is so-called the lust of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. You have to deal with the jealousy through the power of the Holy Spirit. The second kind of jealousy is good. God is a God of jealousy. That jealousy between husband and wife, that jealousy is good. So one day you get married, if your spouse has third party, and you will never feel jealousy, that means something wrong with your marriage. So the jealousy in the marriage actually is the protection of your marriage. So spiritually, we have marital relationship with God. God loves us so much, He died for us. So God wants us to love Him solely. So if the third party involved, God will feel jealousy. And the third party may not the living being. It may not be the living being. The third party can be the idol. So idol is the most serious sin, provoke God's anger, because idol will substitute God as the first priority of the people who worship idol. And in the book of James chapter 4 say, be friend of the world is the enemy of God, you adulterer. How come you adulterer? You befriend with the world. The world become more important than God in your life, and God will feel jealousy. So the last after the idol is means unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness. So God is a God of jealousy. And the elder worship idol. B. Repay God's love with evil. Evil of idol worship. God loves so much, but we repay God's love with idol worshiping. That is a very serious sin. Number C. God's glory left the temple. So because of the jealousy, eventually God was not able to dwell in the temple of God. So verse chapter 10, step by step, God's glory left the temple of God. Once God's glory left the temple of God, and then the Babylon came and destroyed the temple. So the material of the temple was destroyed because the spiritual glory of God left the temple. Something invisible happened first, and something visible happened second. So we are living in the two worlds. One is spiritual world, one is a physical world. You look into the book of Job, all right? Job suffered. Why did Job suffer? Job suffered in the physical world. But before Job suffered, in the invisible world, in the spiritual realm, God has dialogue with Satan, and God allows Satan to come and attack Job. So because the invisible world already make a decision, so the visible world, something happened. The same thing. God left his glory, left the temple of God, and then the material temple was torn down, was burned out. So this is called related. And sometimes we have to look into something happened in our daily life and think about the matter we encounter from the spiritual perspective. Why does God did that this allow this happen to me? What does God want me to learn? This is very important. Very important. Okay. Now, the faithfulness of God. Number A. God is a faithful and his covenant is prevailing. Because God is faithful, he will never forsake his covenant. He is going to fulfill the covenant. No matter how people forsake him, he is going to fulfill the covenant. Because God is a faithful God. So God's love and God's faithfulness, according to the book of Psalm, it reached to the heaven. God's faithfulness and love reached to the heaven means immeasurable of God's faithfulness and his love. B, God will shepherd them and revive them because of God's faithfulness. God will become their shepherd, take care of them, and revive them. And this message also today is to us because we are the chosen people. Three, and he will fulfill his promise with a restored new Jerusalem. Even though material Jerusalem was destroyed, but God is going to restore a new Jerusalem, a spiritual Jerusalem, means a church in the New Testament. The establishment of the New Jerusalem, a church, is because God's faithfulness to his chosen people. Number D, God's justice and mercy. If God has only mercy without justice, what kind of world will it be? If God only has mercy without justice, what kind of world will it be? The world will be like a rotten apple. Outward it looks is beautiful, but inside is rotten. Because it will be corrupted. The church will be corrupted by sin. And that exactly happened nowadays. Christianity emphasizes a lot of the love of God. And because they emphasize a lot of the love of God, the sin prevailed in the church. Right now, you look into the newspaper, right? California, majority agree with the same-sex marriage. What does that mean, same-sex marriage? Right? God created Adam and Eve. Right? Well, some people say God did not create Adam and Steve. Adam and Eve, right? So same-sex marriage is against the teaching of the Bible. You cannot only emphasize love and live under sin. If God has only mercy and without justice, then the world will be corrupted with sin. But on the other hand, if God is only a God of justice without mercy, and we come to the church, they go to the court. Right? Do you like to go to the court? No, you don't like, right? Because there is no love there, right? Only court, being judged. So because of justice, so the mercy becomes so precious. Because of mercy, so justice is become necessary. So this is a two important characteristic. Just like the same thing, if your father only love you, mercy, and without justice, right, then you will be pampered, you will be spoiled. Right? You cannot be a good person. When you reach to the age of the 7, right? Your father loves you so much, and you don't want to go to school. The father says, okay, then next year, right? And next year, you're still crying, don't want to go to school. You know, your father don't want to hurt your feeling, right? Next year, until you reach the age of 15, all of a sudden you find out you want to go to school, start from elementary 1. How do you feel? Oh, right. How do you feel? Oh. So love without justice, that kind of love is no good. And justice without love also no good, right? Your parents are only have justice without love. Maybe when you reach to the teenage, you will run away from house, right? There is no love. Oh, no love, right? So it's very important, huh? Very important. So sometimes the father plays a role of what? Justice, the mother, the love role of love. But most often it's just contrary. The father plays the role of loving mother. The mother plays the role of what? A father of justice, right? But actually, you need to have one love, one justice. So it's balanced. Oh. So you can be well disciplined, and also you have a very warm and loving family. The same thing. God is a God of justice and mercy. So number A, God of wrath. He's talking about God of wrath. And then also 48 talk about the God of comfort. Right? So the love and judge and comfort. The second one, the temple discredited and also restore and purify the temple. One is because of justice, the other one because of mercy. Number three, the watchman of divine judgment. God wants Ezekiel to become a watchman of divine judgment. And then, be a watchman of the new age. The new age, a new age of revival. New age of blessing. There's another way to show God's mercy. Number D, the mountain of rebuke in chapter 6. And then chapter 36, the mountain of consolation. So a spiritual person must have these two kind of divine nature. Have justice of God and also reflect the mercy of God. Any spiritual person, you cannot have only one side of God's character and without the other side. So these two should go side by side. And each one complement with the other. You cannot exclude other one, only emphasize one side. So this is the themes penetrate the whole book of Ezekiel. His sovereignty, and then his faithfulness, and his justice and mercy. Now we go into chapter by chapter. The book of Ezekiel. The first three chapters, chapter 1 and chapter 3, this is the first vision. And the first vision is talk about the commission of Ezekiel. In chapter 1, Ezekiel saw a vision in the foreign land, in the land of Babylon. He saw three kind of vision. The first vision is of four living creatures. The second vision is of four wheels. The third vision is the appearance of God's glory. So there are three kind of vision. And then in chapter 2, Ezekiel was called by God and then equipped by God in order to send him to preach the warning to the Israelites from God. And chapter 3 is talk about the role Ezekiel was going to play and the preparation he needs to have. Oh, so this is chapter 1 to chapter 3, the first vision. Let's think about the first one. Huh? What does the three vision really typify? The four living creature from chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 14. Let's come back to Ezekiel chapter 1. We cannot exactly understand the meaning of the four living creatures and the four wheels. But we can understand that the four living creatures actually were angels who were serving God. So God showed Ezekiel about the four living creatures because God wanted Ezekiel to know how did the angels serve God. Do you remember when before Isaiah was called, what happened? Isaiah saw the vision and he saw who was serving God during the vision. Isaiah chapter 6. Before Isaiah was called by God, he saw a vision, who was serving God in the vision. The angel of Seraphim, right? Sarapho. And the name of Seraphim is burning. Burning means purified. Burning means zeal. So before Isaiah was called, right? God let him saw the vision. How did the angel serving God? And that service was so powerful. When Seraphim calling, holy, 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 the whole temple was shaken. The whole temple filled with the glory of God. Very powerful. So today, if we want to serve God, you need to have a what? Role model to follow. Right? And what is a role model you should follow? What is a role model for Isaiah to follow? Because at that time, there was no Jesus Christ. Right now, the role model is Jesus Christ. How can you follow, how can you serve God? You just look exactly how did Jesus serve God. He becomes a human being, a perfect human being. He was well pleased with God. And his servitude really glorified him, God. Right? You look into Jesus' servitude and you follow. But in the Old Testament, there is no role model. Where is the role model? God showed the vision. Oh, how the seraphim serving God, the angel serving God. It's so powerful serving God. And you should follow. Right? You should follow that kind of servitude. And Ezekiel, he saw the four living creatures, right? Serving God. So they become a role model. Serving God, the four living creatures, right? One is like what? One like a lion, the second like an oxen, the third one like what? Eagle. And the last one, like human being, right? Amen. So if we want to serve God, you need to have these four characteristics. Lion means power. Lion, the king of the animal, right? Power. Jesus was a lion with a power. Even the Satan was afraid of him. He go everywhere with power. Just like a lion. We serve God, we need to have power, right? And then oxen means what? Faithfulness. If you tie one oxen under the tree, right? Enjoy the shadow, the shade. And you use another oxen to pull the plow over the field. The second one will never stop there and protest. How come you only use me? And that one enjoys the shade. Right? The second one never protest. The one just continue to pull until totally exhausted and stood there. Don't move anymore. There's a reason a lot of farmers don't eat cow meat. Not because of religious reason, because the cow serving the master so faithful. How can I eat the meat? as a reason. Oh. So we serve God what? Faithful, very faithful. Just do whatever you can do. Oh. And the third one is what? Like ego. Ego means fly above, transcend. Our mindset and attitude is not like people in the world. Transcend, be close to God. Oh, that is the servitude, like an ego. Oh. And the last one, like a man. Man, like Jesus. Right? Reflect the image of God. Justice and mercy. Oh, so this is the vision. And the whole fourth wheel. The whole wheel has been guided by the Spirit. Oh. The service has been guided by the Spirit. Oh. So our service is the same. Should be guided by the Holy Spirit. Oh. And then, chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. Then, Ezekiel saw the glory of God. Oh. Let's come back to Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26. And above the firmament over their head was the likeness of throne, in appearance like a sapphire stone. On the likeness of the throne was a likeness with the appearance of man high above. Verse 27. And also from the appearance of his waist and upwards I saw, as it were, the color of amber, with appearance of fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his waist and downwards, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, as with brightness all around. Verse 28. And like the appearance of the rainbow in the cloud on the rainy day, so was the appearance of the brightness all around it. And this was appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Also, chapter 2, God called Ezekiel. And chapter 1, God revealed the glory of the Lord to the Ezekiel. When you read verse 26 to 28, did you really feel something? When we just read it, you cannot get excited, right? Why? Because what? Whatever been written in by the words is already limited. But actually, when they saw that kind of vision is beyond description. It's very difficult for you to use human term, terminology, with a human word to describe what that really means. But only thing is that's far beyond what you can describe. So God's glory is far beyond what you can understand, far beyond what you can describe. How wonderful it is. If you want to work for a company, the first is what? You ask for how high that will be the pay, right? Oh. 100K or 200K, right? Definitely, you will jump to a company who will give you higher pay, right? The second, you are going to look into the how good the boss is, right? Oh, if the good is very boss is very mean, then you are not going to work in that environment, right? The third, you are going to look into the working environment, whether the working environment is good. The fourth, you look into the future potential. Oh. Right? Is there an invisible ceiling you cannot be promoted, or you can be promoted, your future? The fifth, you are talking about self-fulfillment. You work in that company, can you have self-fulfillment? Right? So you decide to serve in a company, there are many factors to affect your decision. How about if you want to serve God? If you want to serve God, for example, right now, for example, if we cannot recruit any full-time minister, okay, because the living allowance is too low, Let me double the living allowance. 企业 double the living allowance. Still nobody come out. Let me triple the living allowance. All of a sudden, three youths want to become a full-time minister. Do you think these three youths can be used by the church? No. Cannot be used by the church. Oh. Why? Because only you triple the living allowance, then you want to come out. Right? But how about if the one day the allowance been lowered down to one third, then the person will resign and gone. Oh. So your servitude because what? Because of something material, oh, right? To motivate you. Oh. So that kind of servitude is only what? Working in the church like a job. But you see, most of the full-time ministers, when they come and to become a full-time minister, they receive far less than they in the church than they receive in the world. But they're still waiting to serve. Oh. They're still waiting to serve, not because of material compensation, because something more valuable motivates them. And what is something more valuable? Something more valuable is something spiritual. Oh. So when only when you really understand, you really experience, you really believe something spiritual is very valuable, and that will last forever, then you will serve God faithfully. So that is the reason. That's the reason God had to show Ezekiel the glory of God. God is so glorious in heaven. Oh, do you want to serve Him? So today, if we can experience God more, if you really can see the glory of God, I believe a lot of people are waiting to serve God. Really. So the reason we serve God is because God motivates us, not because somebody motivates us. Do you know if you serve God because somebody keep on encouraging you, so you come to serve God? That's good, but that's not good enough. If you come to serve God because your parents encourage you, that's good, but that's not good enough. The best way to serve God is because God Himself encourage you. God Himself motivate you. God abide in you, touch your heart, move you. That's the best way. And that kind of servitude is very strong. And that kind of servitude can last longer and can withstand all different kind of difficulties because God is motivating you. So before God called Ezekiel, God revealed the glory to Ezekiel. God wants him to witness the power and glory of God in the spiritual realm. So this is the chapter 1. Ezekiel witnessed the glory of God. You know the Jesus Christ chose the 12 apostles, right? And then among the 12 apostles, 3, Peter, John, and James, Jesus took them to the top of the mountain and prayed. And all of a sudden, Jesus transformed his figure into the spiritual glory, glorious figure. The cloud dazzling white, the whole continent shine the glory, right? What did Peter say? You don't know. On top of the mountain, no cellular phone, no internet, no TV, no weed, no this or no that, right? On top of the mountain, right? You must get bored, right? But how did Peter say? How wonderful for us to be here. And he intended to build 3 booths for these 3 persons. He intended to live forever. When Peter saw the glory and heard the voice, "This is my only begotten son." You look into the second Peter, when he was in a very advanced age, seems that voice still what? The sound of the voice still in his brain, keep on knocking him every day. Oh. So Peter, James, and John, all 3 apostles in the advanced age, they died for God, martyred for Jesus Christ. So it's so important to experience God. to know the glory of God, to be motivated by God himself, so that our servitude can be powerful, can withstand all different kind of difficulties. So chapter 1, Ezekiel saw the vision, and chapter 2, God called him to serve. And God tell him what kind of suffering he is going to experience. Nowadays, the more difficult job, the job with you have to involve more risk, or the job where they deal with a lot of dirty things, always require higher pay, right? Without higher pay, nobody want to do it. But you look into the book of Ezekiel, the job Ezekiel was doing, nowadays nobody want to do it. It's very dangerous. You only to risk your life. Right? So how can Ezekiel was waiting to do it? Because God motivated him. So he come here to be motivated by God. So we hope in the future, a lot of you want to serve God. You may not serve God in a full-time basis, but you can serve God in a volunteer basis, right? This May, I was in Kenya. There was a member, a volunteer, he went with me to Kenya. He was running a restaurant. In order to go to Kenya, so he take a leave for 1 month, and his wife and daughter take up the restaurant. On the way back in Kenya, we met another team with 4 members. 3 were volunteer. Two of them that like your age. They are 2 sisters like your age. They went to Kenya and they all to Tanzania. They pay their own airfare. Not church pay for them. They pay their own airfare. They are so happy. I want to come to Africa to become a volunteer. Why? It is because God motivated them. Every year, we have an Africa volunteer training, about 30 to 50 people receive training in UK. Most of the time, been trained in London. Many youth come. They want to serve God. Why? Because they be motivated by God. So we hope more people of you can be motivated, not serve in Africa, but serve in your local church. The vision are very important. God's glory. Number 2, to be sent and equipped. The calling, chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2. So then I saw it. I fell on my face, and I heard the voice of the one speaking. And he said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you." Verse 2. And then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on his feet. And I heard him who spoke to me. You look into the experience, that's something I related. The Spirit entered me when he spoke to me. When God spoke to him, and then Spirit come into Ezekiel. While Peter was preaching the words of God, what happened? The Spirit of God came to Cornelius and his family. So the words of God and the Spirit of God is go hand by hand. God was talking and the Spirit come. So what does that mean? Jesus Christ say, "I have many things to tell you, but you cannot understand. Until the Spirit of truth come, then you will understand it." So Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the truth. Spirit and the truth go hand by hand. If you want to understand the truth, you must have Holy Spirit. If you really pursue the truth, God will give you Holy Spirit. This go hand by hand. So how come we are so sure True Jesus Church have the truth? Because Spirit is here. If True Jesus Church have no truth, Spirit will not be here. How come we know the other church had no truth? If the truth is there, Spirit will be there. When they pray, they have no Holy Spirit. That means they have no truth. So Spirit and truth go hand by hand. While God was talking to Ezekiel, and the Spirit come into him. This is coming from the good side. So why before the prayer, we have to use a passage to encourage you. When the words of God come into you, the Spirit will move you. When the Spirit will move you, you kneel down and pray. You'll be filled by the Holy Spirit. Oh, so this go hand by hand. Oh, okay. So the words of God like a piece of wood, and the Spirit is just like a fire. Put it together, it become a big fire. Oh. But from the other point of view, if there is the teaching come from Satan, and you study it, the other spirit will go in. Because the teaching of Satan come with the spirit of Satan. So I know you are young, you try to expose into different kinds of new stuff, right? If it is a technology, then no problem. But if it is related to what? Buddhism, Hinduism, idol worshipping, be very cautious. Because that kind of book always have the connected to the other spirit. So in the United States, we have two youths, right? You maybe know the testimony. You have two youths. They were very curious about Falun Gong. All right? You know Falun Gong, right? Oh. You don't know. You know it, all right? They come from China. Attract a lot of people. They read the book wrote by Mr. Li, right? Oh. And they was told, before you finish the book, you are going to experience something in your body. Oh. It really happened. Before they complete the book, something happened to their body. So they were shocked. Oh. But after they read the book, I think whether they finish or not, they come to the church and park in the parking lot. They were unable to hear anything. Oh. So one of them, they don't awaken and come back and through the book. Right now still in the church. But other one, they don't just follow. And right now, already left the church. Oh. So, the other religion, the book published by other religion, be very cautious. Oh. If the teaching is from evil spirit, there's another spirit is going to follow. If the teaching is from God, the spirit of God will follow. Oh. So this is chapter 2. Ezekiel was called. And verse 3, and he said to me, Son of man, I'm sending you to children of Israel into a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me, and they and their father have transgressed against me to this very day. This is a very difficult task, do you know? As a full-time minister, sometimes I've been treated like a queen, like a prince. Sometimes it's like a beggar. All depends on where are you going, right? If you have been sent into a church loving God very much, you will treat you very well. But if you have been sent to a church, the faith are very cold, or they are already decided to depart from True Jesus Church, you go there, you are very lonely. They are not going to entertain anything. Right? You have to buy something for yourself. This is a very, very difficult assignment. So God tell Ezekiel, you are not going to be sent to the people who loving God very much. You are going to send to the people who are rebellion to God. When you go to the people rebellion God, you are not say God bless you, right? You are not going to say that. You have to say repent, otherwise God is going to punish you. Are they going to give you anything? Of course not, because this message, you know, is difficult to swallow. Oh, so this is a very difficult assignment. And then verse 4, chapter 2, verse 4. For they are imprudent and stubborn children, and I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of your God, as from them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. Why? Why in the Old Testament God had to send a prophet to convey the message? But nowadays we don't have prophet. Do we have prophet? New Testament, do we have prophet? Very simple, yes or no. New Testament, do we have prophet? Those who agree, yes, raise your hand. Only two. Oh, and most of you are, no. New Testament, no prophet, right? Okay. In the Old Testament, because they have no Bible. They have no Bible. So how can they know the will of God? So God will convey the message to the prophet, and prophet will go around the nation, preach the will of God. Okay. So in the Old Testament, there are three kinds of people considered very noble, right? King, prophet, and priest. Right? Three people considered very noble. And these three types of people had to be anointed to receive this kind of title, king, priest, and prophet. But in New Testament, anyone who received baptism and received the Holy Spirit means a person has been anointed. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you become a king together with Jesus. You have authority. When you pray, you can cast out the demon. So everybody, you receive Holy Spirit, you are the king with Jesus Christ. In Old Testament, you are the priest too. In Old Testament, they had to offer sacrifice through the hand of priest. But today, you can offer the spiritual sacrifice. You kneel down and pray. You can directly pray to God. Right? Send your sacrifice to God. Oh, so you are the priest. But in New Testament, every one of us, we can be prophet. How can you become a prophet? Because all the will of God is hidden in the Bible. All the will of God is hidden in the Bible. Oh. If you are filled by the Holy Spirit and you spend time to study the Bible in depth, then you will be able to understand the will of God very good, very well. And you go everywhere to preach the will of God. You are doing the words of prophet. Oh, you are doing the will of prophet. So, who is a prophet? Who is a prophet? It's possible you, everybody, you can be a prophet. Oh, you are the priest and you are the king. Oh, this is the Old New Testament. So, God used Ezekiel to convey the message to the Israelite. Now, verse 6, you do it into verse 6, the encouragement of God. Because it's so difficult, so God had to encourage Ezekiel. Chapter 2, verse 6. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor afraid of their words. Through their barrel and thongs are with you, and dwell among scorpions. Do not be afraid of their words, or are dismayed by their looks, though they are rebellion house. So verse 6 already foretell the suffering Ezekiel is going to experience. You are going to dwell among them. There are thorns, and then you are going to dip in under the among the scorpions. What does it mean, scorpion? Scorpion will bite you and release the poison and make you a lot very painful, right? And that's rebellion people are like a scorpion. You preach the warning, they are going to sting you, and release the poison and cause you to have a lot of pain. But you have to do this to convey the message of God to them. Verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1 to 7 is a calling. Okay. And verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8 to chapter 3, verse 33, is the equipment. Then what should I say? Right? If you want to send me there, what should I say? So chapter 2 verse 8 say, you have to swallow, you have to eat up the scroll. Right? So what does the scroll mean? Chapter 2 verse 9. When I looked, it was a hand straight out to me, and behold, a scroll, a book was in it. Verse 10. And then he spread it before me, and there was a writing on the inside and on the outside. And the writing on it were lamentation and mourning and woe. The words were written inside and outside. What it means? Inside, when you scroll, put it together, right? You cannot read the inside. So what it means? The teaching of the Bible have the outside meaning and the inside meaning. Outside means literal meaning. Everybody, you can read it. But the inside meaning is hidden, been sealed by the Holy Spirit. So you give the Bible to your classmate, right? Every word they understand. Every sentence they understand. But what does the Bible say they can understand? Right? That means the inside meaning, spiritual meaning is hidden. And God asked Ezekiel to swallow this. So chapter 3, verse 1. You have swallowed the scroll into your stomach. And then, chapter 3, verse 4. Then you had to go into the Israel to proclaim my message. And where comes the message? The message comes from the scroll you already eaten into your stomach. So what does that mean? If you want to preach the message of God, the first, you have to eat, swallow the words of God into your heart. Digest it. Become part of your thinking. Become part of your value. Become part of your system. Become part of your life. And then you can come and proclaim the message of God. So this is a spiritual preparation. Equipment. Swallow the scroll. Okay, let's pray inside. Amen. We're finished.